just another solid day in California. It's just the way that I was raised in California.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, here with Cal Poly first year, head volleyball coach, Caroline Walters. How's it going?
It's going great, Owen. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. And I'm excited about this volleyball season. It kicks off in a week, I think, from today, right?
One week.
Okay, cool. And this is your first season as the head coach. We'll talk more about that in terms of like your last experience. I guess you were the interim head coach before. How was this off season for you, though? You know, with the transition happening prior to the off season, how did the off season go for you? How was that for you, and how was it maybe different than past off seasons or recent off seasons?
Sure. So it was really normal. I'll start with that. The off season prior to this past off season, Sam was with our beach team a lot. So myself and Jason were tasked with training the girls in spring. So it really went off without a hitch. I mean, it was back to exactly what they had done the year before, and trusting us in our training and doing a lot of the same drills that we had been doing before. So I'd say with the addition of our new staff member, Eric Barber, who came to us from USC and brought just this concept of growth mindset and constantly learning and having a purpose with everything you're doing, I would say that was the biggest change. You know, we looked at our stats as compared to the conference, and although we've won the last 2 years, we have a deficit in terms of serving and digs per set. So those are two things that we focused a ton on in this off season, and really liked what we saw over the course of the few months.
So serving and defense are two things that you guys have been focusing on, it sounds like. Like you said, Sam spent a lot of time with Beach maybe this past. So you've been doing a lot of the recruiting, a lot of the training, a lot of that stuff already the past few years as an associate head coach. How does being the head coach, how does that change for you, or does it at all?
Sure. Actually, the one piece I wasn't doing a ton was recruiting before. So I wasn't out on the road much in the last few years. And so when this recruiting calendar started in February, it was, you know, baptism by fire. And we were out there every weekend with our presence being felt. You know, in prior years, Jason would be out there primarily because Sam was so involved with our beach team. And I think having myself, Eric, and Jason on the road for kids to see, I think our presence was really felt. So we're really, really pleased with the ground we were able to cover with the recruiting in the last few months.
Obviously, recruiting is like a California thing, probably mostly for you all. But you've recruited some Texas players and some players from other places. Do you have to have like kind of a vision ahead of time, or is it kind of like you go to tournaments and say, oh, that girl's good, where's she from?
A little bit of both. You know, we like to do our homework for sure ahead of time, and just with how our roster will be panning out in the years to come, you have to look forward and see what positions you'll be needing. So typically it's looking in grad years by position, but it absolutely happens where you see someone and you're like, oh, wasn't even here to watch you, but let's check out what's going on here. So, you know, those things kind of go hand in hand, and then you start figuring out how to make a relationship with them. The recruiting rules changed this past year, so that actually is going to provide a good amount of time for us for the 2022 class, because we can't talk to them until June 15th of this next year. So, you know, we've recruited a ton of kids in the 2021 class, hoping that we'll be able to roll over some of those into 22 and buy us some time while everyone kind of tries to figure out how these new rules will come into play.
So tell me about the new rules. Is it you get more time, less time, just different windows?
Less time and less communication with them, which, you know, I think it will eventually, well, I don't know about eventually, but the purpose of it is so that these kids, you know, can explore these campuses and make the right decision, and you won't see as many transfers. But I think at least initially in these first few years, the window of opportunity. They're going to have to talk to people and make campus visits. I think that they're going to have to rush into some decisions. And, you know, we pride ourselves as a program on being one that allows kids to take time. So we want this place to feel like home to them. And we know that happy kids are going to work hard for you. So we're pretty excited with where we are in our future recruiting years and look forward to developing that as the years go on.
You guys have had a transfer too recently, but not a ton. I think was Jamie a transfer? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But it hasn't been like a tenant of your program. Is that something that involves, I know in men's basketball, even women's basketball, you know, lots of other sports, transfers are a kind of a large, it's a growth market in a lot of other sports. How is that in the volleyball landscape in terms of transfers?
Yeah, well, we have Jamie Stivers from Duke, who we're really excited to see, you know, what she can do for us on the court this season. And you're forgetting our other transfer, Tori Van Winden, who's helped a little bit.
She just seems like such a Cal Poly girl.
In the last 2 years for us. So, you know, it is something as these recruiting rules change that we're looking at and we'll likely be holding a scholarship out per year because they've changed kind of that process as well. And there's a transfer portal, which as soon as you want to transfer, it makes it so easy to get up there. And I think the hesitation with people before in terms of volleyball and transferring is they didn't think it was possible to go play somewhere else, you know, if you were unhappy. And I think that this portal will allow kids the opportunity to see that it is easy and that they are going to be scooped up quickly by programs that have a need. So, yes, that's something I think that will turn into a main staple for us.
Does it help or hurt the Big West, the growth of transfers?
I think it'll help us. I don't know if it'll help some of the other schools, but I think, you know, hopefully with our success in the past few seasons and with what this institution is academically, that's the other hard piece is that once they get into, you know, their junior year, transferring into this school becomes very difficult. So there's always going to be walking that fine line of getting transcripts early and seeing if it's even feasible. But usually if it's after that freshman or sophomore year, we can make things work.
For you, what's been the most difficult part of the transition to being the leader, the boss?
Good question. I think before in an assistant, associate head coach role, you know, you're allowed to be friends with everyone and with the players and have relationships that are different than the person that's making the decision at the end of the day regarding whether they're going to play or not, you know, and I've tried to really, really continue to establish those relationships with our new kids and to continue to develop those relationships with our returning kids so that when that time comes next Friday, there's a lot of trust going on and there's a lot of transparency that's taken place for them to understand, you know, why. And we use a lot of numbers. But for me, I think that really is the biggest challenge is knowing that at the end of the day, I am the person that makes decisions that they are not going to like. With 18 kids on a roster, that's 12 of them that aren't going to be, or well, with the libero, it's 11 that aren't going to be written into that starting lineup. And I understand it's a tough pill to swallow. And these kids have grinded. They were here, you know, on their own this summer working hard. Before practices, they're in here for 45 minutes getting extra reps. And you see that level of commitment from kids and it weighs on you because you can't, they can't all play. It's just too many kids. So trying to set up a program where they understand that they're valued and that we value competition and that those things are not set in stone. It's going to be a week by week competitive arena where kids are going to absolutely be able to earn their playing time.
Yeah. You've been through a lot of things here at Cal Poly. You were the interim coach before Sam. You were a coach before, you know, with the previous coach as well. You had some losing seasons, some like extreme losing seasons and some tough times that you've been through here and kind of back on, you know, Big West titles two in a row here. You talked about not being able to be friends and that kind of comes with the role, maybe more than the role of head coach versus associate, maybe even more than your growth. But how have you changed as a coach, as a leader over the past, I don't know, how long have you been here, like 8 or 10 years
11.
Now?
This is my 11th
season. 11th season, okay, right. So you were here for lots of years under John too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're like the person, you're like, you've been the constant in Cal Poly volleyball, basically, right? How have you changed over that time? I mean, obviously you've grown a lot and you're 11 years older, but like, sure. what does that mean for you in terms of how you've changed?
No, I've been very fortunate to work for some brilliant volleyball minds and just being in the gym with those two men and learning about their thought process and practices and you know, the volleyball side of things obviously has been wonderful, and I've worked with some great people Chris Thomas, who's at Illinois now, is a huge mentor of mine, and we talk, you know, and he's always there and available.
Where was he before Illinois?
Nebraska.
That's right.
Yeah. So he was at Nebraska as an assistant, and they've been at Illinois now for a few years, and you know, we were very aligned with our thought process while we were assistants here in terms of that. It was during the losing seasons, and in terms of these kids can do better, we need to just keep pushing them, we need to stay on track and trust the process. And so, you know, I think in terms of my coaching style, though, and its evolvement, when you're young, you know, and I think any coach, you coach the way that you were coached. And I had a great experience at Santa Clara, and we were able to make it to a Final Four as an unranked team. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. And I have a great relationship with my former coach, and he's evolved too. But back then it was very much not scare tactics, but we ran a lot, you know, and we pushed ourselves beyond boundaries that we even thought were there. And so, you know, while understanding that elicits change quickly, it doesn't elicit permanent change. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned over my time, is that you really need to teach these kids what you want them to do. And at the end of the day, if they're not performing, it's because you have not gotten across what you want them to do, and you haven't trained them well enough to establish that as a habit. So I'd say I'm much more patient with our players. You know, obviously there's things between communication and effort that you have to handle in a way that is a little bit different than teaching. We're still allowing for a lot of that teaching right now, just because we have some new kids and letting them find kind of what that means in our gym. But you know, as we get closer to these first competitions and as our season progresses, and with 18 again, in terms of an effort or a communication thing, it's just kind of switching them on and off the court and giving another kid a chance to come in. And thankfully, we don't have a lot of that. But overall, I'd say I'm much more of a teacher now, as opposed to cracking the whip. And I've found it much more enjoyable to be in the gym on a day-to-day basis.
What do you think about when you think about that interim season? And how do you look back on that now?
You know what? That year flew by. I mean, it really was. Just strap on that helmet and keep going and try to be unfazed for the girls. You know, I was 24, and it was a lot, and I only had one assistant. You know, his brother stepped in a volunteer role for us.
Was your sister on that team too?
She was.
Yeah.
She was.
So not only were you the head coach, you're 24,
yep.
Your little sister's on the team.
Yeah. Like, quite a few layers there, really exciting things, but I'm thankful for it, you know, because right now, and it's, I don't feel nervous going into this. You know, it's just, I've been here before. I've been here with Sam. I've learned all these things. The girls, you know, prior to this season, I think that they saw me as that person that they respected in line with Sam. So Sam made it very easy for me to step into this role. But thinking back to that interim year, it really was just survive, you know, and still try to teach the kids how good volleyball is played and try to just hang on. And we were able to do that through some very close fifth set losses against Long Beach. And, you know, we had the Big West Player of the Year in Jen Ketty that year, who's gone on to do wonderful things. And I've been very lucky with the opportunities I've been afforded. Let's put it that way.
It's not often that, you know, you get to be a head coach at Division I college level at 24.
No.
That said, this year, you know, you guys are in a lot different places of program than you were that year. You're a top 25 team going into the season. Not too many should I call you a first year head coach? Not too many coaches get to take over a program that's a top 25 program. A lot of the time when changes are made, it's for negative reasons. In this case, you know, Cal Poly was good enough that Sam got other opportunities. What is that like for you? Is there any extra pressure you feel because of that? Because of the different place that you said you weren't nervous about it, but is there any extra pressure because of the high expectations that this program has?
I don't think there's extra pressure. Like I've mentioned before, you know, just in terms of trusting this process, and it's something that our girls have heard for the last few years, and thankfully, you know, that process has worked out for us last year and the year before, and Tori coming in and what she's done for this program has really elevated it to a new level. So, you know, but we lose Catherine Broker and Adley Van Winden, who were two mainstays in our serve receive for 3 years, and Adley for four, you know, and when you lose two-thirds of your passing right off the bat, it's going to set you back a little bit. So I'd say, you know, understanding that we're going to have to be okay not passing as well as we were, teaching setters to be able to locate on the run a little bit more. I really like our freshman class that's come in and how they are stepping up to what we're asking them to do. And our returners have really taken it upon themselves to continue getting better every day. So you know, I, yeah, ranked first, you know, ranked in the top 25. Those things are just, you know, outsider things that we don't pay a lot of attention to. Our day-to-day grind is just getting a little bit better in the gym. Is how do we make this drill a little bit better? How do we make your passing technique a little bit better? How do we serve a little bit tougher? And trying to narrow that focus, because the more you pay attention to those things, the more you lose sight of what that work actually means. So, no, I think if I feel pressure, they're going to feel pressure. So we try to eliminate that.
Yeah. You mentioned Tori and how much she's changed the program. I can't believe I didn't mention her as a transfer. Silly. How's she doing? She missed the last game of the last season. Probably a disappointing end to the season for everybody, including her, and I've talked to her about it. And how is she doing? Is she ready to go this season? What's her status?
Yeah, it's been a long few months for that kid. And, you know, there's people that make assumptions of what's going on, and I don't even fully understand everything that she's been through. And it's been a struggle for her, you know, and we've tried to get her all the help that she needs, and she's seen doctor after doctor to try to get answers on this. And there's been improvement, and she's found things that have worked for her, and she's had setbacks. And I'd say it's day to day right now. You know, she has great days in the gym. She has days where she feels great, and there's that random day where a really bad migraine creeps in, or, you know, she can't focus. So
I don't think everybody knows what happened.
Oh, yeah. So it was 2-3 days, I think, before our tournament match, and it was one of the last points of practice in Mont Gym the day before we left, and one of our middles went up and hit a very nice ball, and Tori was standing in her spot, maybe a little too close to the 10-foot line, but just went up and took a ball kind of off the side of the face, and she had had quite a few concussions before that, right. You know, in her experience at UCLA and just playing on the beach. And so, you know, she was diagnosed with post-concussion syndrome after that. And it's just been, you know, a really, really tough road of recovery for her. She started playing on the beach for the first, I think she was out there first weekend, if not the second. And then after that was done. So it's been a struggle. And I've not met someone that loves volleyball as much as that kid. So as a coach, watching a player not be able to do something that they love, it pulls at your heartstrings for sure. And you just want to give them that thing that can fix everything, and I can't. And I think that's the hardest part in all of it.
Yeah, time is like a thing. I mean, as a high school athlete, I took a charge once, and it was like a 6'8 kid put his knee in my chest and rode me to the ground and banged my back of my head against the floor in the middle of the key. That's what they tell me anyway. I guess I got up and collapsed, and it was like a whole thing going to the, I don't remember anything from that whole day. I woke up the next morning, and I've talked to Tori about it. Like, it took me, I think, like 2 years to, yeah. 3 years maybe. I was middle of college before I was writing papers as quickly as I could, sure. Before that in high school even. And I try to picture like trying to go to Cal Poly, trying to, yeah. You know, maintain an academic load, trying to just kind of maintain yourself at that age, you know, and it's something I mean, whatever my advice is worth, but I said, you know, just take it slow, it's a time thing, right? I mean, that's the number one deal. And like you said, having more of them makes you more likely to have more.
Right.
In the future too. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously not being able to not do something she loves day in, day out right now is heart-wrenching. But the other side of this is you have to look at her, the life that she can live,
right.
Over the next, hopefully, a bunch of years and have it be very successful. And
right.
It's showed us all, I think, ever since that day in December that our purpose is to coach these kids for sure. You know, our job is to train them well enough to win volleyball games and to enjoy that process. But more than that, our job is to help these kids grow into wonderful adults and to give them the tools necessary to have great lives. And I think we're seeing that even more with this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we'll all wish the best for Tori and hopefully she can get out there, but obviously, you know, taking it slow. Avalon's somebody who I want to talk about. She's a freshman last year, setter on a Big West championship team, which is a hard, it's like having a freshman point guard on a basketball team, something like that. And when I watched her play, I mean, she's shy when you interact with her. She's kind of quiet, or she was last year anyway. But when I watch her play, is it ridiculous of me? I mean, I've seen Taylor Nelson win Player of the Year as at that position. Am I wrong to have like ridiculously crazy, like unimaginable, like high bar for Avalon in terms of what she can be?
No, I don't think anyone knows what Avalon can be. You ask her to do something, she does it. You know, she, exactly like you said, I would say the calmest of all cucumbers that I've ever been around. I mean, she's in 5-set matches against Hawaii here and there, and is seemingly unfazed. So we ask her to do a lot. We're going to ask her to do even more for us this year. And I think she's, more than anyone on our team, the person that, that is going to be okay with an added workload to what she was already doing. So, no, it's exciting. Her blocking's improved. Her defense is improved. Her hands look great. We're increasing the tempo to the pins. But no, she's such an enjoyable kid to work with, and we're so lucky that we get to for 3 more seasons.
Yeah, I saw her last year, and I was like, oh, like, this girl can be, like, this is, the sky's the limit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think, and the best it's part awesome. Of it
she's
is,
like, yeah, she's just,
she has no idea, you know, it's, and it, that's so exciting as a coach and refreshing to have a player that's like, okay, yeah, I'll do this and I'll try that. And oh my gosh, I'm getting better day to day, but doesn't ever look ahead to be like, I'm going to be so great in this time. It's just, she is so committed to the process and understanding of just the cerebral side of this game, and getting better a small amount every day. And I think that we'll see that pay dividends this season.
Middle blocker was kind of a sneaky good position for you guys last year. I mean, a lot of the, you know, Adley was a senior, Broker was a senior, Tori plays opposite. But middle blocker, it seemed like, was kind of a sneaky, solid step up you guys had from the previous year in that way. What are your expectations there? Is that maybe more of an emphasis this season in terms of getting those? I mean, somebody's got to take the Adley workload, right, sure. In terms of offensively.
Yeah, we lost a lot of kills per set from Ad, and trying to figure out how we add those in other places. Returning all three of those middles is such a blessing that we don't have to retrain, you know, a freshman that's coming in, and that they know our footwork patterns and that they know our transition moves. And that was something, I think, after the first few weeks last year, that I was watching film, and I just went into Sam and I said, their transition footwork is not allowing them to efficiently be set as much as we want. And he's like, okay, what do you want to do? And we changed it. And I think we were able to get them a lot more balls at that point. And we want to get them even more this coming year. So yes, they've been working hard in the gym. We're trying to manage their bodies and make sure that they're fresh and good to go. So while we're finishing double days up, you know, today and Monday of next week, they've kind of been going single days and just trying to get as much out of them in that PM practice as we can, but really high hopes. And I mean, we led the Big West in blocking blocks per set last year, and I see that continuing just with their work in the gym defensively and watching them back on film every night. They make it look easy, and we're running a good tempo to our pins, so we're excited to see what they can do once we're playing someone else.
Beyond them, who's going to maybe take the Adley workload, or is it still something that's a pretty good competition now? Is it going to be kind of like a committee thing? Like, what's that look like?
Yeah, we've got a lot of good pins. Nikki Jackson, a senior that's got a good little whip of an arm. Jess McCroskey, who's played for us consistently over her career, is someone that I think will be able to step in and just take a lot of that, and has been in big matches before, and is got some good ball control as well. Jamie Stivers, you know, another kid, really, really good arm, and has been playing really well in our gym, so excited to see what she can do. And then Nikki Kavat is this little spark plug of energy that we redshirted last year. So we'll get to have 4 more years with her, which is so exciting, and just really quick to the ball, jumps well, almost too fast for her own good. So trying to get her, you know, to take a deep breath and slow down, and she makes some great volleyball plays though. So, you know, between the four of them, we're really excited about what that outside position will look like, and hopefully figuring out a way to, yeah, find those Adley kills somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned kind of splitting time from beach and indoor, and kind of that when the beach program was started, I talked with both Sam and Todd about that being essentially a weapon for both of them to have kids who, if they were good enough, you know, you could let them play both. And that was, you know, something that I think at Cal Poly, like, traditionally, I mean, you go back to Stephanie Brown Trafton, who's an Olympic track and field athlete who played hoops here, or Sharon Day Monroe, an Olympic track and field athlete who played soccer here. It's a thing that's a Cal Poly kind of deal to be able to take advantage of that. And it's one of the things that a small school can leverage, in my opinion. But what has having a good beach team here meant for the indoor program, maybe vice versa? And obviously there's less crossover as the years go on, which was by design. Mm-hmm. But is there still opportunity for crossover, just as people are kind of wondering kind of where sure. the direction that those that both those programs are going? And what's your relationship with Todd?
Yeah, the success, especially in this past year of the beach team, has been just exciting, I think, to this community, to our volleyball program. You know, what they did in terms of getting to Gulf Shores without Tori, who's a very big piece yeah. of that program, is nothing short of exceptional. And those kids work. Our kids work. But that beach game is a different kind of demanding. And they put the work in, and they were able to see amazing rewards for that. So, you know, from a recruiting perspective, yes, it helps hugely. I think that, you know, like you mentioned, it's becoming few and far between, sure. even the kids are wanting to do both, but we definitely are one of the only institutions that will even allow it or even start to talk about it. It's a lot. It's full 20-hour weeks for, you know, essentially your entire year. Yeah. So we've had kids that have said, yeah, I think I want to do that. And then they go through our season and they're like, wait, I don't know if I do want to go do that for six more months. But no, we've had, you know, even at our summer camp this past year, we've had kids that are interested, very interested in the beach program and are in our gym. And we're like, okay, you know, it takes, like you mentioned also, it takes a special athlete. Right. It takes someone that has the skills to do it at both, because you lose out on those 8-hour weeks and the ability to train them in situations where you're just getting more time. So they have to be able to make up for that, which Tori obviously does. And I think that there are a handful of athletes that can do that. Todd is a brilliant volleyball mind, and just the talks that we get to have. And now actually in our new offices, we'll share a big office. So I'm really looking forward to sitting side by side with him and just talking volley and continuing to build these programs to wherever they can go.
I know obviously he's like, his nickname indicates he's pretty brilliant in terms of on the beach, but have you picked anything up for indoor, like from him in terms of things that he notices, just competitive things as he, I see him at games. What do you guys talk about?
For sure. I think, you know, last year in terms of Avalon and just looking at some of her setting stuff and talking to us about tempos and things like that, angles of approach, which players will play better on the left or right is something that as indoor coaches, you know, you have these kids that have traditionally played opposite or have traditionally played left, and on the beach, you either play on the left or the right, and you have to do, you know, one or the other sometimes too. So I think a little bit more fluidity between those two spots and the understanding that, yeah, they might be a little bit better with that ball tracking this direction, but with this and that, you can get them to do the same thing on the other side. So
just a couple more questions. Sure. One of the things, I mean, with crossover, there have been a number of kids who have, like, you know, arm injuries just from swinging too much. It's an interesting thing in volleyball because it's like pitching kind of, where it's just repetitive. And unlike pitching, there's not like 3 days off in between, you know, there's not like a lot of days off. And maybe that is something that's happening more and more, right? Is like kids getting days off and that kind of thing. But there's a fine line there, right? Between like days off and kids being fresh middle mm-hmm. of the year and being, mm-hmm. you know, having to use them and get enough reps in practice. You mentioned the middle blockers taking some time, sure. just kind of chilling out. How has that changed? Like you mentioned when you played, I feel like that's probably something that's even changed between then and now, right? In terms of players who just kind of probably used to just tough it out, and maybe their performance would just steadily decline until they can't use their arm anymore the year after they play or something. How has that changed overall in volleyball?
Sure. I think that's something, you know, that Sam was wonderful about, and that he and I would get into some discussions over at points was giving these girls the time they need to recover. And of course, you know, now understanding that and seeing what it did for our success over time, you know, you always want to get better. And the hard thing too is I think now with the kids in our program, they want to get better and they want to keep jumping and they want to keep swinging. And so we're trying to pull the reins back of, no, that's not going to be good for you come Friday. But understanding that yeah, you know, on a Monday after playing, and especially in this preseason when we play two matches on a Saturday or on a Friday and then a match on a Saturday, so you're playing three matches and in a weekend, you need to take that time to get back and jump in ice baths and get tissue massages and do all those things. So it might be a serve and pass on a Monday when we get back and no jumping practice. But yes, we found ways to modify practices to still get things done without pounding their bodies.
A couple of non-conference home games last year against UCLA was really fun. And I don't know how you guys pulled that off, but you know, that was really fun to have the Bruins here last season. This year, there's a tournament here, and you'll get a couple of games on a Friday, Saturday against, what, Wichita State and San Jose State, I think?
And North Texas.
And North Texas. Okay, mm-hmm. Great. So that'll be a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, yep. The 5th, 6th, and 7th, after you start the season in Salt Lake City this upcoming week. For people who don't know, volleyball preseason is mostly like weekend tournaments. You play a game or two a day for 2 or 3 days, and then you come home for the week to go to school. And it's kind of like, you know, a series that you play in baseball, or I guess basketball even kind of does that. But you're in one place, and it's been a while since Cal Poly's hosted something like that. So what does that mean to the program to be able to host that? And what do you hope to see? I mean, as a top 25 program, yeah. what do you hope to see from people out here? And will students be here by then?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah, so no. So the community's got to show up for you.
Yeah, for sure. Like you mentioned, our preseason for volleyball and specifically being in the Big West, you know, and you start looking at RPI and how you're making the NCAA tournament. And probably another big piece that I learned from Sam is that you have to chase the RPI in your preseason scheduling, because you're just not going to get it when we're in our conference schedule. So, you know, we're playing some tough teams. We start with number 7, Kentucky, and they return a lot of players. And you play a Utah team that's in the pack and a St. Mary's team that finishes well, and then we come back home. Like you mentioned, for our first home tournament in quite some time. I can't remember maybe one in my previous 11 years, so very excited to have that amount of time at home for the girls to feel that community support. Hoping we can get obviously as many of the local supporters in the stands as possible. Kids, high schools, all of that means so much. You know, the Mott magic is real, and we're excited about continuing the tradition of that. You know, North Texas has been a great RPI team. Same with Wichita State. And San Jose State returns almost everyone. So after that, we go down to Pepperdine and play Pepperdine, who I think they went to the second round last year. We play Utah again, and then play Pitt, who's a team that is an unbelievable powerhouse out in the East back there. So excited for that, and finish up our preseason at Colorado State against Colorado State, Northern Colorado, and Oregon State.
Cal Poly Volleyball will have a successful season, compete for the Big West title, have a chance at the NCAA tournament, if
we can pass the volleyball. You know, it's cliche. Well, every coach will tell you it comes down to serving and passing, and you can never do enough of it to get to a level where you feel comfortable. It's something you just do day in, day out, and you get a little bit better, and you understand that kids will have regression days. But our offense will be just fine if we can side out at a level that's high enough. Our block again will take care of itself. We've been focusing on our serve and defense, so if we're able to side out, and that has a lot to do with our first contest. So yeah,
thanks so much. Good luck this year.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Stuck on down in troubled town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision, and the people on the streets they beat me up till I'm black and blue. You lift me up. Signs out on the streets direct me running back. Don't bring me down. You give your love to everyone around. You send me